Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to the Christmas Eve service. Will you prepare your hearts and minds now and join me for the opening prayer, which will be prayed in unison. So let us pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the most wonderful gift of all, your Son, our Savior Jesus the Christ, born on Christmas long ago. We sing praise with all the angels and rejoice this holy night as we humbly consider his birth, his life, and his ultimate sacrifice. May this Christmas remind us of your precious unending love. Help us always to shine in your light and live as you have called, truly loving one another as you have loved us all. Send us your Spirit this season to warm and soften our hearts once again. Watch over our loved ones near and far, especially those who protect us at home and abroad. Bring peace to every part of the world, every room of our homes, and every corner of our hearts. Amen.
My beautiful boy, holiness I see. So pure, your eyes they trust in me. All creation bows to you, the sky sing your arrival, my precious Jesus.
Be still and know I Three wise kings looked up one night, saw the beacon burning bright. Could this be what's been foretold? Promised gift from years of old. Follow the star with faith. Follow the star with joy. There is a newborn king, and he's a baby boy. There is a brand new light, shining with heaven's might. It's not too far. Follow the star.
Joyful and joy open, O come ye all. you join me now for this responsive reading? Christ is born. Give him glory.
Lord God, we give you our thanks for grace.
Jesus has come down from heaven. Receive him.
Lord God, we give you our thanks for grace.
Jesus is now on earth. Shout for joy.
Lord God, we give you our thanks for grace.
Let us dance with delight in the Lord, and let our hearts be filled with rejoicing.
For eternal salvation.
May the light of Christ shine in our lives and through us out into the world. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah.
This time of the service, it's one of my great joys that we invite the children up, and we give them we say we love you, Merry Christmas, and give them a Christmas ornament, a paper ornament for their tree. This afternoon, about 2 o'clock, I got to thinking, I wonder if we have those ornaments, and I made a couple calls, and no, we didn't have them. So I said, oh dear, Jan and Siobhan and her family were here, and I said, what should we do? Well, we could skip that part. No, I really liked for the children to feel the love of their church. And so I'll just invite them up and give them a hug and send them back. And and some of you know our daughter kind of laughs like some of you just did, only sort of uncontrollably. And she got uncontrollably laughing at that. So her husband said, well, you know, Hershey's has those they're not kisses, they're hugs, huggies. Did you know that? Not huggies like. And so Jan and I went to Publix, the Madhouse, and we've got some little Hershey hugs. And for those children who can't have chocolate, we have some peppermint. And so what I'd love for you to do now, because I do think it's important for the children to know their church deeply loves and cares for them, if while we sing Away in a Manger, if any of your children and you or who children aren't big enough to walk up, carry them up. Would you bring them up? And David and I would love to give them this gift. Let's sing Away in a Manger. Thanks, Dan. Does anybody know if they're gluten-free? I don't know. They are? The mints are gluten-free? The mints are. What you don't know.
Friends, while you're sitting there, if you will please grab the hand of your neighbor if you feel comfortable in doing so, and let's bow our heads and go to the Lord. A brief moment of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we thank you so much for the joy and the beauty of this season. God, we thank you for beautiful kids. Your word tells us, suffer not the little children, but let them come unto me. And God, we're so grateful to have a place where our kids can be safe and served with nurture and with love. The same way you served us through the birth of Jesus Christ in giving us such a sacred and a wonderful gift. For unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given. And God, we thank you for being so generous in giving us Jesus Christ. God, we do pray for all of the families that make up this church. We pray for our guests tonight. We pray that they will feel welcome. And that they will feel your touch and your love. God, we thank you for this wonderful season of Advent, which represents your love and your joy, your hope and your peace. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. God, we pray that in the midst of cooking dinners and filling out cards and Christmas shopping lists, we won't forget the real meaning for this season, God. You are the reason for this season. And God, we just bow our heads now. We just take a brief moment and we worship you. We praise you. We honor you and we adore you. Now, oh God, the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray, we pray it now together on one accord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Forever we pray. Amen. Good evening again. I have the pleasure of just sharing with you a quick note regarding our mission moment. We are giving really on three levels: locally, globally, and theologically. Let me begin local. We serve a number of agencies within the community, so a huge portion of our budget goes towards these agencies, and we help families from our partnership with these agencies. So that's the local. And the global, in a minute, you're going to see behind me playing a video of Pastor Willio. He is the lead person over an orphanage in Haiti that we're in partnership with. And if it comes up, if not, that's the second level of giving that we're part of, local, globally, and also theologically. We have many pastors in seminary, a few in Asbury, another one in Duke, and I forget the third location. But throughout, we have pastors, and we support them while they're in seminary. And I'm actually a recipient of scholarships and grants by way of seminary. So the offering is going to go according to those three levels: locally, globally, and theologically. So if you'll please prepare your hearts and your minds, and let's offer a blessing as the ushers come forth regarding tonight's offering. Can we pray now? Gracious God, you indeed are the giver of every good and perfect gift. And we thank you once again for the gift of this season. We thank you for you being so generous to us and giving us the birth of Jesus Christ. God, we do ask your blessing upon this offering, that it will help strengthen our partnerships here locally and also globally in Haiti and abroad, and also that it will support our seminary and pastors who are being trained, oh Lord, to do your work. In Christ Jesus' name, we do give you thanksgiving and praise. In your name we pray. Amen. Bless you. Thank you.
Chancel Choir and Chalice. David said, "Are you feeling all right?" I said, "Excuse me, David, you got a sermon ready? Where are you?" Yeah. I don't know quite why I'm emotional. Well, it's doing pretty well. I think the music at the beginning, I think when we sang, "O Come All Ye Faithful," I guess I've had this amazing privilege for 40 years to do this. It's kind of overwhelming. I think the other thing is that it's just been so, and when the children came up, it's been so on my heart, those 20 families, that Christmas will be so different this year. And I know how important it is to stay with our routine and to go ahead and celebrate the joy of these days. But another part of me wants to say, how can we do that? How can we not enter into some of what they're feeling? So, as I say, for 40 years, I've been sort of celebrating this gift God's given us. Tonight, I feel called to do something different. I feel called to challenge you and me to do something about it. I feel like I've been so blessed in receiving, and we can't go on from the events of the last 2 weeks and not be different and not do something. I remember in my first church, there was a custodian named Sam. Whenever any of us would brag on Sam, what a great job he's doing, he'd pull out his pocket and say, show me what you're talking about. Give me some money. On the farm, Dad didn't, it wasn't what we said, it's what we did. Think about the athletes that come to the University of Florida. They are privileged to come here. But they're called to produce, to do something. And I feel called to challenge us to do something. We've been focusing this Advent on the promises of God. The choir did this beautiful cantata, "The Journey of Promises." And we heard promise after promise after promise of what God has done. And tonight we sing about what God has done in Jesus Christ, and we are incredibly blessed. Now what does that mean for us? What are we supposed to do with that? The last service, the 5 o'clock service, little Sarah and I were playing, and we did this pinky promise. You remember when you were a kid and you said, cross your heart and hope to die, promise. What's our part of the promise? What's our promise back to God in these days? God promised, Isaiah, Psalm 105, God remembered His holy promises and He did what He promised. Solomon said, not one word has failed of all the good promises God gave. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And this beautiful passage, 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God find their yes in Christ Jesus. You know what's occurred to me is God's lived up to His promises. How are we doing? How are you doing? How am I doing? How can we be a part of a society that doesn't come away from the last events of the last days and determined to do something different? We must. We must. I've been drawn to this visual that'll come up on your screen. It's on your program. The peaceable kingdom. Could you bring that up, Stan? You can see it in your bulletin or you can look at it on the screen. We talk about the Isaianic, messianic prophecies, the promises of God. The several famous ones in Isaiah. Isaiah 7, for this young woman, this virgin will conceive and bear a child and His name will call Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. 2 chapters later, Isaiah 9, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and His name is we called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We believe that is fulfilled in Jesus. And Jesus said, yes, I'm the Prince of Peace. And I just long for my followers to be people of peace. Peace. And then Isaiah 11, also looking to the future. And I'll just read some of the scripture and then it'll... Wait a minute, leave it up, Stan, would you? Because I want to refer to it. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of power. Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And He will delight in the fear of the Lord. This is Jesus. This is who He is. He won't judge by what He sees with His eyes or decide by what He hears with His ears. But with righteousness, He will judge the needy. And then He comes to this beautiful passage. The wolf will live with the lamb. Do you see the right side of your bulletin or your program up there on the screen? The right side, you see the wolf and the lamb? Edward Hicks was a Quaker. He grew up, his father was a loyalist. When the British were defeated, he lost all his money. His mother died when he was 18 months old. He was raised by a Quaker family, married a Quaker woman. And this is the 61st iteration of the Peaceable Kingdom, this very famous painting. He believed it. His Quaker theology believed it. William Penn believed this, that this image of Isaiah wasn't something in the indefinite future, but it's something the followers of Christ are called upon to be a part of making happen. The wolf will live with the lamb. You see the wolf and the lamb? The leopard will lie down with the goat, down towards the bottom, the leopard and the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. You see the calf and the lion. And a little child will lead them. A little child will lead them. Notice the prominence of the little children. The cow will feed with the bear. See down in the lower right-hand corner? The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. You can pick it out, but he painted in the straw for the ox and for the lion. The infant will play near the mouth of the cobra or the leopard. And the young child will put his hand in the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Years ago, I used to think, this is a mirage. This is an illusion. This is a messianic prophecy that will someday, maybe in the indefinite future. That's not what Edward Hicks believed. I don't believe that's what we should believe. It's God's call upon us to be a part of making the peaceable kingdom a reality. God has lived up to His side of the promises. How about you and me? When you and I give birth to our children, and sometimes when we bring them to baptism, we make these promises that we're going to raise them in a way that God's going to be a center of their life, and they're going to be surrounded with incredible love and kindness and goodness. When we have our marriage vows, we promise to be there for the other person. Our society has lost so much of a sense of that. Our promises. And it starts with those closest to us and goes out in concentric circles of living with fidelity and faithfulness to the promises that we've made. And the breakdown at the inner core is what we're reaping now in the outer core. But God has called us to be faithful to His promises, to the promises we've made. Someone sent me this a long time ago. 1 Corinthians 13, a Christmas version. If I decorate my house perfectly with plaid bows, strands of twinkling lights and shiny balls, but do not show love to my family, I'm just another decorator. If I work away in the kitchen, baking dozens of Christmas cookies, preparing gourmet meals, and arranging a beautifully adorned table at mealtime, but do not show love to all who enter, I'm just another cook. If I work at the soup kitchen, carol in the nursing home, and give all that I have to charity, but do not show love to my co-workers, it profits me nothing. If I trim the spruce with shimmering angels and crocheted snowflakes, attend a myriad of holiday parties, sing in the choir's cantata, but do not focus on Christ, I miss the point. Love stops cooking to hug the child. Love sets aside cell phones, internet, and Facebook to hug the family. Love is kind, though harried and tired. Love doesn't envy another's home that has coordinated Christmas china and table linens. Love doesn't yell at the kids to get out of the way, but is thankful they're there to be in the way. Video games will break. Pearl necklaces will be lost. Golf clubs will rust. But giving the gift of love will endure. In this picture and in this text, Isaiah says, a little child will lead them. 20 children have led us. If we don't follow now, God help us all. I've written in our Tuesday Word, those of you who are new, I write out a Tuesday Word every week, and I said 9 things that we need to be doing. I believe them. We need to have a conversation about guns in this country. And some of you are going to disagree with this, but you've been wrong before. When the president of the NRA takes no responsibility, when there's not any admission of any infinite possibility that the proliferation of guns in this country is contributing to the mess we're in, that's just craziness. We need to have a reasoned conversation about that. We need to have mental health issues get out in the open. We need to fund it more. Here at Trinity, we're going to begin offering a class, 12 hours of mental health first aid. We need to look seriously at whether or not video games, violent video games and all this stuff is really contributing or not. I don't know if it is or not. My hunch is it is. Our penchant in our land for selfness is destroying us. We need dads to be dads. I don't know. I hardly heard anything about the dad of this fellow. We need to believe the proverb, an African proverb, that it takes a village to raise a child, and all of us are to be there. And all of us, houses of worship, need to reach out to people on the fringes, as Jesus did. I'm going to modify that Tuesday word, and I'm going to write a letter to the president and to the legislators. I'm going to put it on the website, and if you agree, or I'd like you to go to the website and sign it and send it off to. The Edward Hicks, the theology of the Quakers was, a key part was the light within. We're going to light candles tonight. The light within. That's when we submit ourselves to the Christ within. And in that submission, we take a sense of responsibility of living out into the peaceable kingdom. And it begins at home with this amazing sense of kindness to the people around you and deep hugs for the ones you love. And a commitment that the little children will lead us and we will follow. Follow. Will you do something about what's happened? Will you be followers of the Prince of Peace? Pray with me, would you? God, Well, I don't know what more to say, God. I ask that You'll empower us to be Your people. And to not only receive Your gifts, but to do something. Be Your followers. Make the peaceable kingdom our passion. I pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. David, would you lead the... We're going to receive, invite you to receive a gift of Holy Communion. Now, many of you may not be Methodists, or that's okay. Anybody, it's an open table. We invite any of you to receive Holy Communion. After David reads and guides you through the liturgy, we'll invite you to come to various places around the worship center while the music is played and receive the bread and the cup. Thank you, David.
Join me now. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. In the fullness of time, You gave Your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. And at His birth, the angels sang, "Glory to You in the highest, and peace to Your people on earth." And so with Your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise Your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. As Mary and Joseph went from Galilee to Bethlehem, and there found no room, so Jesus went from Galilee to Jerusalem, and was despised and rejected. As in the poverty of a stable, Jesus was born. So by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, You gave birth to Your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. As Your Word became flesh, born of woman, on that night long ago, so on the night in which He gave Himself up for us, He took bread and gave thanks to You, broke the bread and gave it to His disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is My body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." When the supper was over, He took the cup, gave thanks to You, gave it to His disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is My blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." And so in remembrance of these, Your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving. And as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ is died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out Your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for us the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen.
These are gluten-free here at this table as well. The musicians play.
Listen carefully to these words from the book of John as the light of Christ is coming in now. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace.
So brightly within us that our families are forever touched, and people whom we do not know might be transformed through the love of Christ. Make us a different people, God. Give us the courage to do that. Send us forth in your love. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.